Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We want to do a part three today of our series of God's Will to Heal. And, of course, as my custom is, before we get started, I'd like to introduce my sweetheart and let her say some opening comments.
Hi, everyone. Once again, such a blessing to be able to share this time with you. And we always pray before we begin the podcast, and we know that the Holy Spirit is going to minister to your heart with the truth, because the truth is the only thing that can set us free. So sit back and enjoy.
Well, praise the Lord, sweetheart. Today was another one of those challenges, you know, in my body and the pain in my back. And it's like, wow, you know, it seems like there are times in our lives when we face some tests, maybe even some ultimate tests. And this was one of those days. And I have to say, you know, you begin to really question what you believe. I mean, you really get to see what do you really believe, you know, about what you teach, especially right. If you're a Bible teacher, you know. And I've been teaching on the subject of faith and healing for the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, today was one of those crossroads, you know. It's like, well, what are you going to do? You know, I asked this question a little while ago, you know, kind of rhetorical question, but, you know, we both thought about that, you know. What do you do when you've been believing God for healing and it hasn't showed up?
Right.
Especially if it's been years.
Yes.
Do you quit? When is the time that you do quit? Or do you?
You don't quit.
You know what? That's the right answer, is you never quit.
You never quit.
Because what in the Bible tells us we're supposed to give up on our faith?
And sometimes things take a turn for the worse. I mean, I've been a witness of mothers that are praying for their children, for their sons. One particular mom comes to mind. She has been praying for her son for years, and it seems like he's just doing worse and worse. Not too long ago, he was in jail. He's struggling with mental health, emotional, spiritual, and this mother just cries out to the Lord. But you know what? It's so beautiful to see that even though she cries out to the Lord and she suffers, yes, because parents, we hurt when our children hurt, she continues to believe the Lord. And in the midst of that, I'm going to say agony, she continues to believe God. And why do I say she continues to believe God? Because she continues to say it. She, in the midst of her tears, despite what she's seen, she continues to claim what God spoke to her about her son. And she continues to stand on that word, on that promise. Not what she's seen and not what she's feeling, but she continues to stand on the word of God, because God doesn't change and he is faithful.
Wow. That's so true. You know, the word tells us exactly those things that you're saying. You know, we see in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our faith or mm-hmm. hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Amen.
And then we go down to verse 35 in that same chapter, and it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Verse 36, for you have need of patience or endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise.
Amen.
Wow. I mean, that really comes home alive to me more than ever. You have need of patience or endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Hmm. Wow.
You know, It's easy to, let me say it this way. It's easier to say something when you don't go through it, you know, just give advice, give counsel, share your opinion. But when it hits home, as you said, you know, that this word becomes alive in a very practical way. I think once we use the example about getting a license, that it's not the same thing just to know things. The theory, the theoretical part of the exam, you know, just to sit in front of that computer and answer the questions, you don't get your license. It's when you actually get on the road and you practice where you can show what you know. So it's very encouraging, I'm going to say, even though it doesn't sound like it, when the Lord gives us the opportunity to actually get on the road with our faith and see how much of what we know we can actually stand on and hold on to. And as you're saying, you know, here you are sharing about faith for healing. It's God's will to heal. And I saw you today in a lot of pain. And we did what we felt led to do, which is pray, which is to clear the healing. And praise God, because it did subside, and you do feel better. You still are very uncomfortable, but you do feel better. Praise God. But we continue to believe that God has healed, and it is His will to heal you. And that's where, I think that's where sometimes the line becomes, I would say it's like a fine line between I don't see it yet and I do know it is God's will to heal me. So where do I persevere? Do I claim what I'm feeling, or do I claim God's word? And it's easier said than done, in the sense that just saying I believe it is God's will to heal me doesn't mean that when you're going through the pain, that pain isn't real. That pain is real. And even more so when you've been waiting or going through some difficulty. Here we're talking about physical healing, but any kind of healing that we are hoping and waiting for and believing the Lord for, when it is something that you've been waiting for and going through, a challenge, a difficult time, pain that you've been going through for more than a day, a month, how about a year? How about when you've been going through pain or going through some kind of treatment or diagnosis or difficulty in your life, challenges, like this mother with her son, for years? Where does it say in the Bible, okay, once you've crossed a 3-year mark, this qualifies you to stop believing? And these are real questions, right, that you and I here can talk about. And I know that many of the listeners can identify with. What is the, or when do we say, okay, I'm biblically free now. I don't have to continue to believe. I think pretty much now I can allow doubt to start taking over my heart and my mind.
That's so good that you talk about that, because that's something I've heard before. And I mentioned this, I think, in a previous broadcast, or one of them anyway, is that there was a time when I heard some people tell me, you know, people from my church that I had used to attend many years ago when I lived in Maryland. And they said to me, don't you think that if it was God's will to heal you, He would already done it by now? You know, and I thought, well, what, you know, what are you thinking? You know, I was thinking to myself, what kind of question is that? Where does it say in the Bible that I'm supposed to quit after a certain amount of time?
Right.
Well, if he doesn't do it within 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years, well, then that means it isn't his will. There's not anything in the Bible that indicates that at all. Any time frame on believing God for the promises of God. That's why we're told, hold fast your confession of faith without wavering.
That's right.
That's why we're told, don't throw away our confidence, which has a great recompense or reward. For you have need of patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you receive the promise. And we know from the father of faith, you know, who Abraham is called, he had to endure for 25 years before the promise of his son Isaac came along.
Wow,
you know,
that's
we're
right.
told this in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, that after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And that through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. So patience isn't like a lot of people think today. Patience is 2 hours or two
that's
days
right.
or even 2 weeks. Sometimes it's a long period of time that we have to believe. And, you know, and unfortunately, people, you know, we talked about this, about that relationship with the Lord that we have to develop, is we have to understand the ways of God aren't not man's ways.
That's true.
You know, and when we're in that trial, when we're in that test, when the pain is not subsiding or increasing and it seems like it's not going away, or the situation is getting worse.
That's right.
You know, I heard a minister say this years ago. He says, sometimes when you start believing God for a promise, many times things get worse immediately. That's the devil there to try to shake up your faith.
Right.
And you think, well, why would God allow that to happen? You know, why, you know, wouldn't he, you know, heal or answer that prayer, you know, immediately or quickly? You know what? Sometimes he doesn't. But he doesn't promise that he will always answer immediately, but he promises that he will answer if
right.
we will believe and hold fast our confession of faith. And so I think it's not until we have a real test do we really find out what we believe about what we're saying. You know, because I'm in pain. You saw the tears.
Mm-hmm.
The pain was severe. And you know, those questions came to my mind, why God hasn't done it? And what am I going to do about what I've been believing?
And the beauty of it, Amor, is that when I say the beauty, I mean when you talk about pain, there's nothing beautiful about that. But the children of God, when we go through trials, it is impossible for us to even think or entertain that Jesus is indifferent or he's not with us. He walks with us through those circumstances. And we definitely, as I said, it's beautiful to know for sure that we do grow in the experience. We do grow and become stronger. We come, hopefully, we get closer to the Lord. There's a story in the Bible that just comes to mind also, and it's when, remember that principal from the synagogue, Jairus, and he comes to Jesus and, you know, asks him to please come heal his daughter. She was very sick. And so meanwhile, on their way there, Jesus has another encounter with the woman who was sick for 12 years with the blood issue. And so it seems like it's a little delay there. The point is that on their way to the house to see his daughter, some people come and tell Jairus it's too late. That's it. You know, she died. She died. And I think of those times when we just have this overwhelming sense of disappointment, because you feel like you did everything possible on your end and it still didn't turn out the way you expected it to turn out. Here, you know, I would think that he's thinking, I put aside my pride because, you know, I'm this important person in the synagogue, and I'm coming to Jesus. And finally, from all the people, the multitude that is around him, he accepts and he's coming to my house. Finally, I have hope. I know that if he touches my daughter, I know that if he's just made aware of my situation, I know that I'm good. I know things are going to go the right way. And so finally, you know, they're walking to the house and boom, what happens? It gets worse. She dies. And Jesus is right there with him. And I love it because Jesus heard what they said to him. That's it. She's dead. Don't bother the master. Don't bother him. And I love it because Jesus knows the comments, knows what's being said, and he immediately intervenes. And he says to him, don't fear, just believe. I love it. Don't fear, just believe. And I know that our listeners, many, many can identify with that. You're probably one of us, one of those that has been through disappointing times. You've been disappointed. And when you thought that things were going to get better because you've done things right, you feel you've been checking all the boxes and just trying to get closer and so on, whatever that means for you in terms of your relationship with Jesus. And what happens? Boom, things get worse. And it would be so good, right? So nice, or in our human understanding, as you were reading and sharing in Isaiah, with our thoughts that are not the Lord's thoughts, our human thoughts, our limited understanding, to say, what happened? What went wrong? And it would be kind of common sense or logical for us to be so disappointed. But the beauty of this is that Jesus is already walking with us. Here he was walking, or Jairus was walking with him. He was going to Jairus's house, and he's already involved. Jesus is already committed and invested into this miracle, into the life of this man. He already said yes. I love this. And I'm telling you, I can perceive and I sense the Holy Spirit not only ministering us here, but ministering our listeners, to our listeners, those that have an open heart, those that have been crying out to the Lord, those that feel it was too late, Lord. You didn't do what I expected you to do when you were supposed to do it. And I'm so disappointed. And I know that the Lord is healing hearts, because this is about a relationship. It is about a relationship. And the Lord, in the midst of our circumstances, wants us to believe and hear when he says, don't fear. And he said, just believe. And Jairus might be thinking, believe what? She's dead. What am I to believe? And maybe you, the listener, you're thinking the same thing. What do you expect me to hold on to? It's too late. This circumstance changed. This already happened. This is broken. This marriage is not going anywhere. My child is in jail. My doctor called me. I'm bankrupt. I mean, any and all circumstances that apply in our walk here in life. And we may be thinking, what do you want me to believe? Yes, I am in fear because it's too late. And what an amazing moment to trust that our thoughts are not like the Lord's thoughts. And if he's telling us, just trust me, because I'm invested in you. I'm not only walking in you, I'm inside of you. I'm committed. I am willing. I know it doesn't seem like it makes any sense. I know you don't see a way out. I know it doesn't seem like the sun is gonna shine ever again, but just trust me and believe.
Wow. All I can say, you said a lot of awesome things there. And one thing that really stands out that I've never even seen before, you know, the way you put it, was with when you said that Jairus was walking with Jesus, mm-hmm. and Jesus was already committed to healing his daughter.
Of course.
So when the news came to him on the way, you know, it's too late, your daughter's dead, you know, don't bother to teach any longer. What was Jesus going to say? Oh, okay, well, I guess I'll go.
Oops, you know, oops, too late.
I'll go somewhere else. Well, you know what? That revelation came to me there, that if Jesus is walking with you already, he's not going to give up on you now.
Hallelujah.
Just because things got worse.
Amen.
Wow. That's, hallelujah. That's some heavy stuff right there.
That's beautiful.
He is with you through it all. Matter of fact, we even see this as I find interesting. I want to turn to Psalms 91, you know, because sometimes people get the wrong idea about teaching on faith. They think that we are saying, you know, those of us who teach on it, that if you have faith, then that means you're not going to encounter any trouble.
Right. Nothing can go wrong.
Nothing can go wrong. Yeah. You're going to live on top of the mountain all the time and praising the Lord. You know, we should be praising the Lord, but Psalms 91 even talks about us going through trouble.
That's right.
And let's turn there real quick. I can quote the scripture, but I'd like to read it because I want to read some of the things perhaps around it. He says here in verse, I'm gonna start at verse 14 and read through 16, the last verse. It says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Now you may say, well, praise the Lord. See, there God's going to deliver. But notice what he says in verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble.
Amen.
I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen.
See, he didn't say that we wouldn't go through trouble. He said he would be with us in trouble. And this is the same as he was with Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
That's right.
He was with them in the fiery furnace. And the same as he was with Daniel in the lion's den. He didn't prevent or save Daniel from having to be thrown in the lion's den, which would have looked like that's the end of it. You know, hey, God didn't send his angel to stop that. No, he allowed him to be put in the lion's den, but he sent his angel to stop the mouth of the lions. See, God, sometimes you might say he doesn't make sense. But the fact is, the more you learn of him and his word, then more he will make sense. Because this is like you said in one of our broadcasts earlier, sweetheart, is that we don't put our brain on the shelf. You know, we don't give up, you know, using our mind and our thinking. Because we were talking about you know, thinking, and we use our mind, but our mind needs to be renewed to the word, you know, because it says that in Romans 12:2, be ye transformed through the renewing of your mind. So your mind's still going to be involved. It's just that it needs to come up with some new thoughts.
That's right.
and in that, we see these principles of faith and patience. We also see this in 2 Corinthians 4:18, where it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's verse 17. Verse 18 says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, of course, some will say, well, that's talking about, you know, the troubles and things we have on earth compared to what we'll have when we get to heaven. And that's true, but it also has application that applies to the things of this life, you know, because it says that for the joy that was set before him, talking about Jesus, he endured the cross and despising the shame, right? He saw the other side of that, what was going to come out of that.
Yes.
So he was able to go through that, you know. And so you might say, well, still, that's talking about, you know, the hereafter. Well, Jesus died and rose again, and he's still on the earth for a period of time while he was teaching his disciples, his apostles, the ways, you know, that he wanted them to live and how he wanted to carry out the gospel message. And so in that, he went through that pressure. He went through that trial. And so I think really what God is really leading me and leading us here in this particular broadcast is not so much to impart to you a new, faith, you know, that you may not have. You may already have the faith, all the faith that you need, but just to encourage you to hold fast.
That's true.
Don't give
That's
up. True. Never
That's
give
true.
Up. Somebody says, well, I heard somebody say this one time, said, what if you believe all that time and God doesn't come through and you still die of, you know, of something, disease? Well, you know, I'd rather die believing
That's right.
than die not believing. But at the same time, you know, if I die, you know, of that thing, you know, then it's, you know, if there's any, you might say, not a fault to find, but, you know, where there is maybe a shortcoming in being able to receive, it's always going to be on our end. It's not going to be on God's end, because God is, he's established. His word is the truth. He said that by his stripes we are healed, and that's the truth. So I believe we should hold fast no matter what. The word tells us this, because even as we continue on in that same chapter, well, actually, the next chapter, in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, we see here in verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned about feelings. Well, feelings is one of those things that kind of goes along with sight, because it's looking at the natural according to what we see and according to what we feel. And what I was feeling earlier was some severe pain. And my mind had some thoughts. What are you going to do? Are you going to get offended at God? Because that's one of the temptations the enemy tries to throw at you.
Right.
You know, to get you to quit and give up. Well, see, God don't care about you. He just lets you suffer like that. Or, no, you're doing something wrong, and try to condemn you and make you feel condemned. But, you know, I had all those thoughts, but I chose not to receive those thoughts and say, you know what? I still believe the word of God.
Amen.
I still believe God is a healer. I still believe Amen. God's will Amen. Is to heal me.
Amen.
You know, so we have to stand on the word of God. And you know what? Sometimes God may allow us to go through some trials, some tests, to prove our faith. You know, they say, you know, about having a, what do they call that? A testimony.
Oh,
that
right.
You can't have a testimony unless you've had a test. And sometimes, you know, the greater the testimony is because it's been a greater test. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's the way things go that way. We have to hold fast our faith. There may be things that we don't understand, you know, about God, or maybe even about the things that we're going through, but he promises us to guide us into all truth.
We have to remember that God is good. And just in case someone does not know that story about Jairus, it is important to inform our listeners and share that when Jesus came to the house, they were already crying. They were already lamenting her death. And he did. He did bring her back to life. She wasn't sleeping. She was dead. But Jesus has the power to do everything and anything. And, you know, another story also comes to mind in terms of disappointment was those two disciples that after Jesus' death, they were going to Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus. And interesting, because it was kind of like opposite to Jerusalem. They were so disappointed that they were just getting away from the center of this all, just getting away. And if there is by any chance one of our listeners that has decided because of a hardship in your life that you are just going to quit on this whole Christianity thing, and you're just going to do your own thing. You know what? I don't even think there is a God, because why would this have happened to me? I believe the Holy Spirit wants you to turn back, wants you to come back home. And because the Father loves you, Jesus died on the cross for you. And these two disciples, they were so disappointed. They, as a matter of fact, even said, we thought he was the Messiah. We thought, you know, we put all our hope in him, and it turns out it wasn't. You may be saying, you know, I put all my hope in the fact that Jesus heals. And you know what? The person did not get healed. The person died. This is it. Like, that's it. This was a deal breaker. But I think it's really important to state, many times things happen that we don't have answers for. We don't. And I think it would be very very foolish to say, what are your questions? I have all the answers. We don't. Sometimes there are things that happen that we do not understand. But because God's thoughts are higher, like, there are things that we don't understand. We think we checked all the boxes, and we don't know why things happen. Sometimes, yes, we do. We can say, well, that happened because, look, oh, that happened because look what happened here. There are answers. But those times that we don't have an answer, it is important to remember that God is pursuing a relationship, even in the midst of those circumstances, like John the Baptist, where he wasn't understanding why is he in jail when Jesus claims that he's here to free people out of prison. Why is he in jail? And things that he just didn't understand. And the Lord said, don't be offended. When something happens that just seems to give you a right to be offended, you know what? Surrender that unto the Lord. And we're just speaking from our heart to your heart, from the Lord's heart, because at the end of the day, it's not how many healings, how many success stories, how many new raises, how many new homes, how many new accomplishments. At the end of the day, it's about your relationship with the Lord. That's at the end of the day what matters the most. That's what he cares most about, your heart. So if getting the healing today is going to separate you from him, if getting it 10 years from now, 1 year from now, at the end of the day, what matters is that your relationship with the Lord becomes stronger and stronger and stronger each day as we wait upon him. And in the midst and the process, what is he saying? Don't fear, just believe, just believe.
Amen, sweetheart. Those are very good words to encourage people, because, you know, it's not saying it's not God's will. You know, you're not saying that.
Absolutely,
you know,
not.
It's just saying that as we're growing and learning, we still have
more to learn.
So while we're in that place, we want to continue to trust God no matter
Amen.
What.
And become closer to him.
Right. So we'll end this broadcast here, and I'll let you go ahead and make that invitation to those to receive Christ.
Amen. And I am so excited. I know that many hearts have been touched already. Excuse me. But there is something else that the Lord is offering. You may be healed today from something that it's incurable, and that's quite a praise story. However, though there is one healing that the Lord offers, and it is the grand healing, and it is the healing of your soul. And how do we do that? It's by giving our heart to Jesus. He says that we are all separated from him because of sin. And he did something so amazing that nobody else could do for us, nobody. And it was to take our place on the cross, take your sins, my sins. That's how much he loves us, so that you and I would not have to perish and spend eternity separated from him. So if you've never given your heart to the Lord, today is the day. Tell Jesus, I need you. I believe you are the Son of God. Yes, I believe that you are my Savior. I need you, and I'm giving you my heart, and I'm accepting your life in turn. And when you do that sincerely, you know what? The Bible says that you become born again. You become a Christian because now the Holy Spirit abides in you. And that's the best decision you will ever, ever make.
Amen. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening. And my sweetheart said, if you've not accepted the Lord, this is a day that you can accept him.
Amen.
So we thank everyone for listening, and God bless you all. And we'll talk to you the next time.
Talk to you soon.